All right, good morning. Today's daf is Zion in Me'ila, and good chodesh to everybody. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Eidmar. Okay, the Mishnah yesterday, which is started in the top of Zion, Vav Amud Beis, second Mishnah in the Masechta, talked about the following scenario. Let's say you had the meat of Kachi Kachim that was taken out of the Azorah right before Zrikas Adam. And then brought right back in again. So it's Yotze. It's a psul of Yotze. It's not the classical traditional psul of Yotze. That's when the meat's taken out after Zrikas Adam, where the meat there is totally disqualified. But over here, it was taken out before Zrikas Adam, and then it was brought right back in. So what's the story with that meat? So the Mishnah brings down a machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Eliezer basically says, it's done. It's over. The story is officially over with that meat. In other words, whatever was the status of that meat will continue to be the status of that meat, and nothing will change. The Zrikas Adam will do nothing towards that meat because that meat's been totally disqualified. Okay? So, for example, let's go over the Nafka Minas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, remember, we're talking about Kachi Kadashim, which means that there's an Isra Me'ila already from the point that you were Makdish the animal. So that means now that when the meat's taken out of the Azara, there's going to be an Isra of Me'ila, and there's going to continue to be an Isra of Me'ila. What about when I do the Zrikas Adam? Good, you did the Zrikas Adam. It's not going to impact this meat at all. It will not remove the Isra of Me'ila from this piece of meat, because the piece of meat was taken outside of the Azara, and it's been disqualified, and the story is over. What about the Isurim of Pigel, Noser, and Tameh? Those won't apply to this piece of meat as well, because once the meat is taken out, so therefore it's done. Story is over with this piece of meat. Pigel, Noser, and Tameh only apply to meat of a carbon that's edible. Since this meat's been taken out, and since it's disqualified, therefore it's no longer edible. That's all the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, no. If you take the meat out and you bring it back in again, it's fine. Now, as we mentioned yesterday on the Duff, difficult to understand Rabbi Akiva's position, meaning, isn't that Yotze? Isn't that the Psul of Yotze? Thank you. Isn't that the Psul of Yotze? And so good, so we'll talk more about it over the course of today. But in the meantime, Rabbi Akiva says it's fine. And as long as you bring the meat back in, so the meat now, it's as if nothing happened, and so therefore when you do Zrika, it will, A, remove the Isra of Me'ila from this piece of meat, as Zrika normally does by Chatos and Asham. And Zrika also will now make this meat subject to Pigel, Noser, and Tameh. In other words, it's meat of a carbon. Okay, this is the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva drew a parallel between a case of two chatos. Later this morning, we're going to go over that parallel once again to better understand it. And then the Mishnah brought in, that's the same machlok regarding Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim were there. The Zrikas Adam is there to introduce Me'ila to the Imurim, the parts of the carbon that are going to go on the Mizbeach. So to that, the same machlokas. If, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the meat was taken out before Zrikas Adam, that meat becomes disqualified. And if the Imurim are taken out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, before Zrikas Adam, the Imurim become disqualified. And according to Rabbi Akiva, again, if the meat's taken out, or the Imurim taken out, and they brought back in again, it's fine. Okay, that is what we saw so far in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to throw on a whole bunch of qualifiers.
Should you not do the Zrika?
There's no point in doing the Zrika. Meaning,
no
right.
No Avera to do the Zrika?
Is there an Avera?
Because you're doing a Zrika on what? I can't just go into the
right.
Into the thing.
Interesting, interesting. We said that, in general, by carbon, as long as there's a consumer, so you could do Zrika. So if all the meat's taken out and all the Imurim are taken out, the only thing you have left is just the blood, so then you can't sprinkle blood. Just sprinkling blood with it not being matir anything, that's unacceptable. So you need something to be matir. Okay, you'll see. A lot of it will connect to Adaf.
When you're talking about the meat taken out, are you talking about all the meat or just all the meat?
Good question. You're going to see. You hit on a very big good issue. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Itmar, we are four lines from the bottom. The Amar Amar Rav Yochanan Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva Zrika Malos Yotzei Shiyatzei Miktsoso. Aval Yotzei Kula Lo Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I'll try on the money. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with the following qualification. This qualification comes to us through Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, look, This idea behind Rabbi Akiva, it's a strange idea. Meaning, he says if the meat comes out of the Azara, it's okay. You can you bring the meat back in, and from the Gemara over here, it seems like you don't even have to bring the meat back in. But in other words, but the Zrika helps. And as we mentioned yesterday, and we were kind of aghast, as we mentioned yesterday, how does it help? Meaning, if the meat's taken out, isn't that a disqualification? Doesn't that disqualify the meat? And how could the Zrika help for the meat that's been taken out? So now when you hear Rav Yochanan, you hear it a little bit better. Rav Yochanan says that Rabbi Akiva would say the following. If all the meat's taken out, the discussion's over. Right? There's nothing to talk about. If all the meat's taken out, so that means that meat is subject now to the psul of Yotzei. It's been taken out of the Azara. And so therefore, I do Zrika. Zrika's not going to affect the meat whatsoever. Okay. When Rav Akiva says that taking the meat out, Zrika would still help, it means when some of the meat's been taken out, but not all the meat. And that means to say that there's some meat in the Azara and there's some meat now out of the Azara. And the Gemara doesn't use this language, Rashi does. So we're going to employ the rule of Migu. Migu means to comes to tell us that since the Zrika is going to be effective for the meat that's inside the Azara, it will also be effective for the meat that's outside the Azara as well. Meaning to just simply say that Zrika helps for Yotzei, that's too big a chiddush. It's too much. But to say that Zrika is going to help for the meat inside, and as a result of that, it's also going to help for the meat outside, so to that degree, Rabbi Akiva will then say, yeah, then Zrika will help for meat that's outside, and again, it's using the employment of the rule of Migu. So to the Gemara, it says, Amalei Rav Asi le Rabbi Yochanan, kvar lemduna chaver shebegola. So Rav Asi says to Rav Yochanan, I think you're wrong, because I was already taught by my friends out in the diaspora, where they said the following, Mechashven alavar vela saruf. Now, you could have a machshava on carbon that was lost, or carbon that was burnt. Okay, to explain a little bit better. Whenever we use the word machshava, we mean, of course, pigle. Right? Machshava, pigle, same thing. So we're talking now about having a machshava's pigle. Now, machshava's pigle, as we've discussed time and again, means that while you're doing one of the dalet avodos, you're thinking and expressing that you are going to eat the carbon beyond its allotted time. Chutzus mano. Now, as we've discussed through the many pages of pigle, through Zvachim, and again, we did it again in Menachos as well, when it comes to the machshava of pigle, there has to be carbon. Meaning there has to be that you have a machshava about eating a consumable part of the carbon, chutzus mano. What if there's no carbon to talk about, meaning all you have is just blood? So that's not going to be good enough. However, we have a statement over here taught by Chaveirai Shebegola, and the statement says, Mechashon ala avir v'ala saruf. Now look at the top Rashi, Mechashon ala avir v'ala saruf. Rashi writes, She'im nisrafu ha'imurim. Well, let's say the imurim was burnt. Okay. Now, after the Imurim have already been burnt, okay, prematurely, obviously, because Zrika has not yet been done, so then, while doing the Zrika, you say, you know, I think I'm going to burn the Imurim beyond its allotted time. Now, that's a nonsense statement, that's a nonsense thought, because they're already burnt. The point is, it's still pickle. And even though, now, you still pigle, what is there left to be mefago? Mm-hmm. So there's the meat, meaning there's the meat of the animal. And as Rashi then goes on to write, the sha'ochel min abasar, that if you eat from the meat, osh'im nimtsu ha'ochlan chayef kares. Or let's say you do find the imurim, right, the ones that were lost, so then you're going to be chayef kares. So in other words, what comes out now is that you can have a machshavas pigle, even though the Imurim were lost, or even though the Imurim were burnt. Now, we don't say some of the Imurim, meaning it seems to be going on where you lost or burnt all the Imurim, and still there's a machshava of pigle. So to what now the Gemara says is, what do you see? You see over here that this idea that I need some, because I need this, I need to use the rule of Migu, doesn't seem to be true. Ketani, I'm sorry, top line of the Amud. V'ha'avad v'sarf, lo asinon ve'olam. They're not here. V'yafilu hachi ketani mechashin. And nevertheless, you could say mechashin. In other words, we have pigle. So the Gemara now takes that concept and uses it over here. So this idea that Rabbi Akiva will allow a zrika done for meat that's been taken out of the Azara, so once you have this rule of you can do pigle on having lost all the Imurim. So lechora would be the same thing true over here, that I could do a Zrika even though all the meat's been taken out. Now, the Gemara says, before we go further with this, now the Gemara says, now that's difficult to understand, because Rav Asi asked the following question from Rav Yochanan. What if you have a machshavas pigol nishpach and blood that's spilled? Now what exactly that means? So I can offer to you three explanations. I'll tell you what, just to streamline the Gemara, let's just go through one explanation. Okay, and I'll go through Rashi's first explanation. Right, Rashi writes, "V'habay minei Rav Asi Rav Yochanan chishav lishbach l'macher mahu." So Rashi over here is going to give two explanations. I'm just going to take us through the first one. Rashi says, "Nishbach nishayare adam shayashofech liyisod hamizbeach." Okay, what happens with the carbon chatas? So what happens is the four avodas: shech the carbon, collect the blood, walk the blood over to the mizbeach, and then we apply the blood to the four corners of the mizbeach. And then what? So then after that, there's going to still be a little bit of blood left in the cup. And so that for that extra blood left in the cup, you're shofech. Shofech al yisod ha-mizbeach. You pour it onto the foundation of the mizbeach. Now, is that an avoda? Yes. Right? You like the hesitation? It's kind of an avoda. Meaning, it's not an essential avoda. The zrikas adam has been done already, but it's kind of like an avoda. Okay, but is it an essential avoda? So that the answer is going to be no. There may not be shirayim, and even if you don't do it, right, the avoda has been done. And Rashi goes on to say, "Shofech liyisod hamizbeach." V'kamibay lechish v'shash shvichas yishrayim amenas lechol kazayis chutz lezmano dahayna lamacher mahu. So now, what if I have a machshavas pigol while doing shvicha, while pouring the remaining blood onto the yisod hamizbeach? I now say, wow, can't wait to eat the carbon tomorrow. Okay. So, mi chashiva ha-machshava d'nishpach ha-mafagol k'mo machshava d'zrika atzma olo. So, Rashi's first interpretation of the Gemara is that going to be considered a pigol? Right? Simple. In other words, we know it's pigol if I have a machshava during the four essential avodas. So this is not an essential avoda. And moreover, not only is it not an essential avoda, it's where I'm basically discarding the remaining part of the blood.
The avoda is complete by then. I mean, that's the whole point.
Right. I agree with you.
Wouldn't it be talked about when he walked and he...
Yeah, that's Tosos. Tosos goes more. Okay, I direct you in that direction. Anyway, but the basic point, and Rashi also himself gives another pshat as well. The basic idea is like this. So Amalei Rabbi Zera, I'm sorry, Chishon Lishbach Lamacher Mahu. So in other words, what Rav Asi is essentially saying is, look, the blood is about to be spilt. Meaning, there's no longer going to be any blood. And Rav Asi is asking Rav Yochanan, is there still pigol over there? So essentially, what the thought process behind Rav Asi is that if there's something which is holech le'ibud, if something is going to be discarded, so then there can't be pigol anymore. So then how can Rav Asi ask that question to Rav Yochanan, and four lines earlier in the Gemara say, well, you know, if I lost the Imurim, or if I burnt the Imurim already, there's still going to be pigol. I can still have machshavas pigol. But how could that be? You don't have the Imurim anymore. So essentially, how can you have a machshava over something that's no longer there? That's essentially the Gemara's question. So how can Rav Asi on the top line of the Gemara say that you can have a machshava pigol over Imurim that are no longer here? And he said it. But the Gemara says, but meanwhile, he's asking Rav Yochanan about this case. It's not the same case, but just conceptually, though, the idea is you're having a machshava over something that's no longer there. So Amalei Rabbi Zera Kvar Shanid Lo Alal. And Rabbi Zera said, now, I know it's funny to follow the give and take over here, because Rav Asi is asking Rav Yochanan, and Rabbi Zera is giving the answer. I'm not sure how all this flows, and that's part of the challenges of Me'ila. But anyway, Amalei Rav Zera Kvar Shanid Lo Lanu Alal. Well, don't you remember the Mishnah in Chulin? Yeah, I kind of do. To a certain degree. You may remember the Mishnah Chulin. Mishnah Chulin talked about the following. Flaying the animal. Now, when you flay the animal, now how many times in my life have I flayed an animal? So the correct answer is zero. But Here's the what the Mishnah describes when you flay an animal. When ripping the hide off the animal, so there's going to be pieces of meat actually stuck to the hide. It's not going to be a clean separation between hide and animal, and there will be little bits of meat. So is that considered meat? Not really. Meaning, as Rashi over here points out, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin, but it's not subject to Tumas Nevela. Nevela is only for the meat of the animal. This little bits, little chunks of meat that get caught with the hide is not going to be subject to Tumas Nevela. Why not? Because once you separate the hide from the meat, it's, as they say in Yiddish, verfallen. Right? It's done. It's over. Right? Now, I know a little more Yiddish than I've seen animals flayed. I mean, but my vocabulary is very limited. But it's done. It's over. So in other words, if it's holech li'ibud, so the meat at that point in time is no longer considered meat. It's no longer subject to Tumas Nevela. So essentially, it's done. It's over. Same thing over here. When something is going to be spilled onto the Yisrael Mizbeach, it's avud. It's over. The story's over. It's done. There's no longer a machshavas pigel. Alma. So the Gemara spells it out. Hai alal. Came into Leis Bay Mashasha Lo Mekabel Tuma Lo Kibel Tuma Lo Mekabel Tuma. However you want to say it. In other words, it doesn't. There's no mamashas to it. There's nothing really to it. Yes, technically it's meat, but it's meat that was stuck to the hide. It's meat that you're not going to really use, so it doesn't really have status of meat. It's holech le'ibud. So hani nishpachim nami came into le'ibud az le'behu machshava la'mahanya. Same thing now with nishpachim, meaning you're pouring it onto the yisod ha'mizbeach. You're discarding it, so there's no longer machshava. And Ben, I like the way you said it. In other words, it's over. Meaning the zrika has been done already. It's really the story's over. Ela diktani. So the Gemara says. So now, good. So we have now a general theme. When something's holech li'ibud, so it's done, it's over, it's discarded. So now we go back to the top line, the Rav Asi line, and Rav Asi says, here's what I learned when I was out in the Galus, which is, Mechashon al-Avid v'al-Asarv, that you can have a machshava pigel, even though you lost the Imurin, or even though the Imurin was already burnt. So the Gemara says, what do you do with that? Al-Diktani al-Avid v'al-Asarv kasha. So the Gemara says, I don't know what to do with that. Meaning, that's going to be difficult. If something which is Avud, something which is lost, you can't have a machshava over something which is lost. So Amarava, Amos, the Rava will say, we'll have to tweak it, and Rava tweaks it. Al-Ha'omed li'ibud, v'al-Ha'omed lisrof. It doesn't mean that it was burnt. It doesn't mean that it was lost. It means it stands to be burnt or it stands to be lost. Now, stands to be lost, I don't even know how to interpret that. I don't know what that means. It stands to be lost, meaning I know I'm apt to lose things, but I don't know if that's what the Gemara means, that clinically, you know, he's the kind of guy who loses things. So therefore, it stands to be lost. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but
it's destroyed, not lost.
It stands to be destroyed. Okay, but in other words, it's on the cusp of being destroyed. I'm not 100% sure, but the point is like this. If it's actually lost or destroyed, there's no machshavas pigel, for sure. It means that the item still has to be here in order for there to be a machshava. Okay, so now, okay, the conversation ended, and basically we're supporting this statement of Rav Elazar. Again, Rabbi Kiva says that if I do Zrikas Adam, it will remove the Isser of Me'ila on the meat of Kachi Kashim, on the meat of Chatzis, on the meat of Asham. And Rabbi Kiva says even if the meat was taken out of the Azara before the Zrikas Adam, it still will help, and Rav Elazar's qualifier still stands. And his qualification is that's only true if not all the meat's been taken out. Once all the meat's been taken out, it's it. It's avud. It's lost. Who would I give credit to? So it's Rav Yochanan. So it's done, it's over, it's lost. But so then it's avud, right? And just like the Gemara now has been doing for the past 10 lines, There's nothing. If it's avod, you can't have a machshavas pigel for it. Zrika won't help for it. Meaning it's done. It's over. It only will help yotze if some of the meat has been inside the azara. And since the zrika helps for the meat that's inside the azara, zrika will help for the meat that's outside the azara as well. Okay.
I said one thing with the stance to be burned. Let's say, if the morning is going to be burned, no matter.
Yeah.
So what is he?
Yeah, but that stands to be burnt means that, but that's the mitzvah, meaning that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do. So what does it mean then?
It means that apparently there's a fire that broke out in the Azara. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking on my feet. There's a fire that broke out in the Azara, and it's, you know, getting caught up in this fire. I'm not sure. Okay, it's strange. Amra papalo amra bikiva zrika mila liyotse ala shiatsa basra aval da means zrika mala siyotse. Another qualification of Rabbi Kiva. Now Rabbi Kiva again says that if meat has been taken out, meat of the Karmel Chatzis has been taken out of the Azara, so you could still sprinkle the blood, and the sprinkling of the blood will help it, even for the meat that's been taken out, it will remove the Isser of Mi'ilo even from the meat that was taken out. Rav Papa says, but that's only if the meat was taken out. What if the blood's been taken out? Now, blood taken out of the Azara, blood is disqualified. Right? That's the Psul Yotze. It's also another Psul Yotze. But here, it's a harsher Psul Yotze. Because if the meat's been taken out, the meat's not the catalyst. The meat is not what's being sprinkled on the Mizbeach. It's the blood that's being sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and that is a catalyst. That creates now status. That gives status to the meat. The meat's just sitting there. So Rabbi Kiva's chiddush is, it doesn't matter where it's sitting. It could be even sitting outside the Azara. It still will change the status of the meat. But once the blood's been taken out, so that's it. You can't bring the blood back in anymore and say, okay, it's back in the Azara, now I'm ready to sprinkle it. Because the blood is over, it's done. And the Gemara says, and we're not even going to dispute this qualification. It's a correct qualification, Tanya Mihachi. The Gemara brings a brace to support this. Shacha b'shtika v'yatzadam afa pisha chaz v'zarku lo asa v'lo klum b'kashi kadash ma'alim bo b'kashi kadash ma'ein ma'alim bo. Once the blood's been taken out of the Azara and the blood's brought back into the Azara, the blood is finished, which now means that by kache kadashim, the meat is no, you, the din me'ila is not removed from the meat, and by kachim kalem, there is no introduction of me'ila into the imurim, okay, because the blood is over. Okay, Amar Rabbi Akiva ha'lamaze domer, Amar Rav Elazar. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to that analogy. You loved the analogy yesterday. Let's go back to the analogy that Rabbi Akiva had in making his point that the Zrika is going to help for Yotze. And let's go over the analogy. Okay, analogy starts off where I brought a Karban Chatas. I needed to bring a Karban Chatas over a particular chait that I did. And I lost it. I don't know where the Karban Chatas went, so I now do what I'm supposed to do, which is designate another animal to be my Karban Chatas. And as, of course, life goes, and this is the way life works, is that after now having designated a second animal, I now find my first animal. So now I have two animals for my one Chatas, for my one need of a Karban Chatas. So, which animal do I use? The truth of the matter is I can elect. I can use either the original animal or its replacement animal. Now, obviously, when I use whichever animal I select, the other animal now becomes Moser Chatas. It becomes now a leftover. Now, by other Mosros, by other residuals, it's fine. It'll still have Kedusha and it can be offered. However, by a Chatas, as we know, Chatas has a whole different status. And by Chatas, once I have a Chatas that's no longer needed, so that's it, it's done, it's over, the story is over, it's Holech Lemisa. So it simply is, it's not salvageable. And you don't wait until it develops a blemish, you don't redeem it, it's over. It's simply done. Now Rabbi Akiva made the following argument back in the Mishnah. Now, I'm going to shecht one of the animals, I'm going to sprinkle the blood of one of the animals, and it's going to remove the din of Me'ila. And it's going to remove the din of Me'ila over both the animal that I shechted and the other animal as well. What I called yesterday A and B. And listen carefully. Now, Rabbi Akiva's argument goes like this. If you see that the din of Me'ila is removed from another animal, from B, it for sure should remove the din of Me'ila from A as well. Okay? And even if A is disqualified, i.e. the meat of A has been taken out of the Azara, but still, if the sprinkling of blood of Dam, of animal A, lifts Me'ila from animal B, and we know animal B is going to be disqualified, so it for sure should lift the din of Me'ila from animal A. This is the argument of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara now is going to discuss this argument. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Ha'azel ma'adoma, I'm Rabbi Lazar, ki I'm Rabbi Akiva b'vas achas. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to help us understand this analogy a little bit better, and Ben, this may help you just a little bit. Maybe. So the Gemara says like this, even when Rabbi Akiva makes this analogy to the two carbon chatuses, that's only if both animals are shechted at the same time. Now that's a little bit odd, it's a little bit funny. Yeah. You don't need to shecht both animals at the same time. In fact, what would be the point? Only one of those animals is going to be brought as your carbon chatas. But this analogy that Rabbi Akiva is striking, that the sprinkling of blood of one helps the other animal, will only be true if I shechted both animals simultaneously.
Now, I'm not... hidden which one he's going
to
use.
Now, right. Now, Rashi takes this Gemara as literally as you can imagine, where it means that you actually shechted both at the same time. Now, Rashi doesn't say that you took out a long knife, although Tosfos does entertain that possibility. But Rashi says, yeah, two kohanim, right? And basically, at the same time, they nodded at each other. They, you know, they did the 1, 2, 3 count. And the two of them shechted the two animals at the same time.
What about the concept of lishma?
Of what of?
Lishma.
Yeah, right. In other words, correct. You need a lishma. The both of them are going to have it.
At the same time.
Okay. No, Danny.
I think Rabbi Akiva is just creating a scenario which constructs this situation to make his argument work.
Right.
Get rid of the meaningless.
Correct.
It is
a hypothetical, but even in the hypothetical, it only will work, says Rabbi Elazar, who's an Amora, it only will work if both animals are shechted. I'm sorry, Ava Bezecher Zeh, lo, Amar Rabbi Akiva. But not Bezecher Zeh, not after shechted one after the other. Now, to understand this, I'm going to ask you just to wait a little bit. Okay, because we're going to get through a Braisa, and then after the Braisa, I'll do a little bit better job explaining why this needs to be. Okay, Tanya. I'm Rabbi Shimon Kishalach Lekfar Pani. So Rabbi Shimon says, I went to the town of Pani. Okay, no good information about the town of Pani. My son is Akinechav Amrali, Omer Hayar Rabbi Kiva Zrika Malas Yotze. And so, I found an elder, and he said to me, you know what I heard about a Rabbi Akiva? Scandalous. I heard that Rabbi Akiva says that Zrika will help for meat that was taken outside the Azara. That's what I heard. I can't imagine. So Amarti Lohain. But I said to him, yeah. Now, by the way, this Rabbi Shimon, I'm assuming, is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? I say that because he's being asked about Rabbi Akiva. We know Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was a student of Rabbi Akiva. And over here, he's confirming what we know to be true about Rabbi Akiva. So I assume that this Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Amarti lo Hain. So I said, yeah. Uchshabati v'art seisi dvarim lefnei chaver shebegalol amrli hal apostle hu heich meratz al apostle. And so now, Ben, you could be like the chachamim of Galo. And they said, I don't understand Rabbi Akiva, meaning the meat's been taken out. It's Yotze, it's Pasul. How can Zrika help for that? So Amrli alo Pasul hu, heich meratz al apostle. Uchishayati v'yotzeisi dvarim lefnei Rabbi Akiva. So the Rashbi says, now I went back to Rabbi Akiva, and I said to Rabbi Akiva, you know, sounds like they have a good question. Right? How does the Zrika help for Yotze? So Amrli b'ni, I ata omer kain. So now Rabbi Akiva strikes his analogy. So now we're in a situation where you have two carbon chatuses, but you only need one of them. Now, there's going to be a din of me'il on both of them, of course, because they're both designated as a carbon chatas. And as we've discussed, since day one of our Masechus, that when it comes to a chatas, it has a din of me'ilah from the moment that you are makdish the animal. Shechtan v'harei daman munach bekosos mo'alan b'shteihem. Now, if I shecht both of them, and notice, you shechted both of them. If I shecht both of them and the blood is in the cup, there's still going to be a din of me'ilah because I haven't sprinkled the blood yet. And then top of Zayin Amud Beis Nizrak Dam Shalachem Mehem Iyatamodesh Shekashim Shadama Poters Es Besara Minamiila Af Yiftor Basar Chaverta Minamiila. And so now, once I do Zrika for one of them, just like the Zrika will pater its friend from Me'ilah, So to all Pater himself. So, and then Rabbi Kiva formulates the argument. Im hitza basar chaverta min ha-me'ila, alfa pishu pasol, dinu shiatzos besara. So if it can help another carbon's meat, which is pasul, because again, once you sprinkle the blood from A, from Chatas A, Chatas B now is finished. It's disqualified. Even though you have the blood ready in the cup to be sprinkled, but still, it's done. So if it can remove Me'ila from animal B, which is pasul, don't you think it could remove Me'ila from animal A, which is pasul? Okay, so now, this is the end of the Braisa, and the whole point that we wanted to get out of this Braisa is that this argument of Rabbi Kiva is when I shechted both animals simultaneously.
I think that this would actually be more supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's position that the half the meat staying in and half of it going out.
Right.
So that by doing the Zirka for
right.
you're covering one that...
Right. And just by the way, another point to consider, when I'm about to say it's a tangential point, although I think it's good, in that, remember just a couple of days ago, we had a big discussion about that this rule of Rabbi Yoshua, right? The first Mishnah Me'ila. Rabbi Yoshua had Klal Gadol, big rule. And that in order for Me'ila to be lifted, there has to be Shas Kosher LeKohanim. There has to be a moment where it's Mutal to the Kohanim. And the Gemara then brought in three opinions. What does that mean? It either means Shechita, or it means Kabbalah Sadam, or it means Zrika. From this Braisa that we just read, isn't it clear that the answer is Zrika? Because the Braisa couldn't even say clearer. Even while the blood is still in the cup, there's still going to be a din of Me'ila. When is the din of Me'ila going to be lifted? Only when you do Zrika. So, again, it sounds like, and remember, that was Rav Yochanan who took the position that it's Zrika. Zrika is going to be the moment of Shasa Kosher. As we already mentioned a number of times, that seems to be the most logical position. But here the Braisa, it couldn't spell it out any clearer. I'm just wondering why the Gemara didn't introduce this Braisa earlier on that topic of the discussion. In the meantime, however, okay, now let's come back to our basic point. So what do we have over here? We have this idea that according to Rabbi Akiva, even in the analogy, the two animals, the two carbon chatzeses, have to be shechted at the same time. Now, follow as we're about to understand this a little bit better. Amar Shlakish Mishum Ravoshi, Achuva Ganuva, Heshiva Rabbi Akiva, Laoso Talmud. So, a tshuva genuva. Now, literally, that means a stolen tshuva. Okay, here in this context, it means it's misleading. Right? It's not... Rabbi Kiva wasn't being so upfront. Heshiva Rabbi Kiva also told me that Rabbi Kiva answered to that student, so bevas achasin bezachar zelo. In other words, Reish Lakish is saying, I don't get it. Meaning, what's the difference? You have two karmen chatasis, right? We're only going to use one of them. Fine. Rabbi Kiva's main point, his larger point is that once you sprinkle the blood of one, it'll remove Me'ila from the other as well. Why do I have the need to have shechted both animals? This is what Reish Lakish is asking. They came into Pasahu, and look, and you know what's going to happen. The second animal, the animal that you didn't sprinkle the blood, the animal is going to be disqualified. So Mali Bevasachas, Mali Bezerchazah. So Reish Lakish says, I don't get it. I don't even understand. Why do I have to have a shecht with both animals at the same time? Wouldn't it be the same conclusion even if I didn't shecht them at the same time? So Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish is just not getting it, right? As the truth of the matter is that when I first was going over the Gemara, I also was bothered by the same question. So, I'm in extraordinarily good company with Reish Lakish. But Rav Yochanan comes and explains like this. So, Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Ve'ate yeta omekein, ilu hifrishtei hashamos achrayos. So Rav Yochanan now draws another analogy to try to explain this to his brother-in-law. Look, let's say I set aside two carbon ashams. Okay? Again, the nervous person. And he sets aside two carbon ashams, one la'achrayas. One of them is an insurance policy. And as we know, you can shech whichever one you want. V'shech l'shnehem. You shech both of them. V'kodem v'hela imurim shal echa mehem kodem zrika. And what happened is that you took the imurim and you put it onto the mizbeach before zrika zadam. Now, everyone understand? Shouldn't have done that. In other words, no one can consume anything. And this is a carbon asham. Parts of it are going to go on the mizbech, parts of it are going to be eaten by the kohanim. Nobody's allowed to consume anything. And I'm speaking to the kohanim, and I'm speaking to the mizbech. Nobody can consume anything until you do Zrikas Adam. And meanwhile, somebody brought the Imurim of one of these Ashams onto the Mizbeach. Iatamode Shim Alu Yardu. Now, it went up onto the Mizbeach. So what do we say? Bring it back down again. Right? In other words, Mizbeach has no entitlement to it. Bring it back down again. And now, follow, because in the next four lines of the Gemara, hopefully it will all come together in terms of understanding. Now, how do you view those two carbon ashams? Okay? Do you view it as one entity? Meaning that those two carbon ashams are really coming for his one avera. And maybe the way to view those two carbon ashams is basically as one unit. Right? It happens to be that it came in the form of two animals, but that's simply because he's a nervous person. And he brought one as an insurance policy. But the truth of the matter is that the two of them are viewed as one. Is that how you want to view it? It's clear that that's not the correct way to view it. Why is it clear? Because Hamar Ula Imuri Kashim Kalim She'alim Lufnei Zrikas Adam Lo Yardu Nasa Lach Moshe Mizbeach. Because we know that generally speaking, of course you should not take the Imurim and put it up onto the Mizbeach before Zrikas Adam. But if you did, leave it there. The Mizbeach has basically now acquired it. The Mizbeach has been collate. It absorbs it. It, like, so to say, takes it in. And now at that point in time, you'll do the Zrika, and then Lemafreya, you're okay. Shouldn't have done that, but you're okay. In other words, even though you take Imurim and put up early, the Mizbeach absorbs. It's collate. Now, if our double Asham is really viewed as one animal, so then when I take the Imurim of animal 2, not the animal that I'm going to end up using, but if I take the Imurim of animal 2 and put it up onto the Mizbeach, the truth of the matter is that, my friend, take if we viewed it as one, don't take it down. Leave it there. Meaning, do the Zrika from Asham A and leave the Imurim of Asham B up onto the Mizbeach. But that's not correct. Meaning, you must remove the Imurim of Asham B from the Mizbeach. Because the way these to view these two animals is two animals, where you simply have the choice of which one to use. But we don't view those two animals as one entity. Okay. Now, we come back now to our Chatas analogy. You see, Reish Lakish, this is Rav Yochanan talking, not me talking. You see, Reish Lakish, this is a mistake you made. It's the same mistake. When a person had two carbon Chatases, you thought that we view them as one entity. And so therefore, to you, you didn't understand. Why do I need to shech both of them at the same time? Wouldn't it be good enough if I just shechted one, sprinkled the blood of one, and that'll lift the Isser of Me'ilah off the original animal and the other animal as well? Because to you, those two animals were really one large entity. It was one corporation. But you see, again, you're not looking at it correctly. It's not two animals as one unit. They're simply two animals, with you having the option to choose which one of them you're going to use. So if you shech the animal zachar zeh, not at the same time, but one after the other, so that means now that the one is that you shechted it is the one you selected. And so now that means that the other animal now is totally now segregated. And when you sprinkle the blood of this animal, it will only affect this animal. The only way that the sprinkling of one can affect the other is if I shech both at the same time, because then I have not made a selection. Even when I shech both at the same time, I still have a means in which I could use still either one of them. Then and only then will the sprinkling of one help the other, because the other is still eligible. Now it's true, this gets a little bit tricky to understand, because it's true that once they do Zrika, the other one becomes disqualified, but at least now at the moment of Zrika, I still had the option of using the other animal. Okay. So now this is how Rich... So basically, I hope I was clear about that. I think I did a decent job. But basically what Rav Yochanan is clarifying to Reish Lakish is, you view those two animals as one entity, But I'm telling you that's not the correct way to view it. The correct way to view it is those two animals are two distinct entities, and it's just simply you having the option, you can go whichever one you want. But once you choose one, that disqualifies the other. Once you shecht one, that disqualifies the other. The only way this all is going to work is if you shecht both of them at the same time.
So the thing is, if that's the story, then you have the issue of chulin bazar for the second issue.
It's not, in other words, but it was dedicated, meaning it was mukdash.
But you're making it chulin. You're
not making it chulin. You're just making a puzzle. Meaning it now becomes pasal hektish. It's not chulin. So to that, when Rav Yochanan explained it to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish was quiet, meaning totally accepting what his brother-in-law told him. So I'm Rav Yochanan, kitzatinun l'raglayhu diyanuka. So Rav Yochanan says, I cut the legs of the young one. Meaning, I took Reish Lakish out. Meaning, not in a mean way, but just simply like... I explained to him. I put him in his place. Okay, it's an expression. All right, let's. Yes.
What do you have to do with that second one?
It's a what's it called? It's a chatas shins kapur b'acheres. It's a chatas and just needs to be disposed of. Disposed of in this case would mean if it's still alive, well, it's no longer alive. Okay, but now it just means that you have to burn it. Not on the mizbeach. You know, wherever hektish is burnt. There was a place in the Azar dedicated to the burning of disqualified kabanas. Okay, let's finish up the perek. The next Mishnah and next Gemara are pretty straightforward. In fact, we've gone over these points already. The Mishnah over here organizes the information. Ma'aseh damim b'kadshei kadashim, lahakol lahachmir. The ma'aseh damim, the act of blood, whether it comes to kachim kadashim, serves as a kula and a chumra. Be kachim kalim kula lahachmir. But in the world of kachim kalim shlamim, it's only a chumra. Ketzad. Can we explain this? Sure. Kachim kadashim lefnei zrikas damim alim biyimoreim. Uve basar. That when it comes to kachim kadashim, there's a din of me'ila, both by the imurim and by the basar. But once you sprinkle the blood, there's still going to be a din of me'ila by the imurim, meaning because now that you sprinkle the blood, that imurim is going to go up onto the mizbeach. So that is now going to be me'ila by the imurim, but there's no longer a din of me'ila by basar, because that's now given to the kohanim to be eaten by the kohanim. Now, on both the imurim and the basar, it's subject to your traditional disqualifications of pickle nose vitame. Nimsa maisa damim bekache kadashim lahakol lahachmir. So therefore, the act of sprinkling the blood by kache kadashim serves as a kula and as a chumra. Kula for the meat, removes the din me'ila by the meat, chumra by the imurim. Chumra by the imurim because it keeps the isser of me'ila by the imurim. It almost sounds like chumra is a funny word. I don't understand. This is me talking now. I don't understand chumra so much because it's not. It's really maintenance, right? In other words, there was a din of me'ila prior to sprinkling of the blood, and there continues to be a din of me'ila after sprinkling the blood. So I'm not sure if I understand the word chumra over here, right? But when it comes to kachim kalim and you sprinkle the blood of kachim kalim, so the only thing that results is chumra. Ketzad, kachim kalim, lefnei zrikas damim, ein ma'alan lo mi'imor v'lo bebasar. La'achar zrikas damim ma'alan bi'imor v'ein ma'alan bebasar. Look, by kachim kalim, so there's no mi'ila but the point of origination. As I tried to explain earlier in the Masechta, by kachim kalim it's fundamentally yours. It's really yours. Meaning, I know it's a karban, and I know it's got to be brought to the Mizbeach, but it's still right now fundamentally yours, so there's no din of me'ila. However, once you sprinkle the blood, and now the imurim need to go up onto the Mizbeach, so now there's going to be a din of me'ila on the imurim. And then the Mishnah sounds a little bit verbose. In other words, it makes a summary statement that when it comes to kachim kalim, it's kulo lahachmir, it's totally a chumra. Okay. Ketani ein mo'alin bebasar. Now, go over the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that there's no me'ila by the meat of a chatas, and by the meat of an asham. Now, the Gemara makes the following diuk. Me'ilahu daleka. Now, when the Mishnah says that there's no me'ilah, what it means is that there's no iser. There's no hardcore iser of me'ilah. But ha'isur ika. But in other words, when and you're gonna hear this again and again, you're really gonna get used to it. Meaning, when we say that there's me'ilah on something, we're saying that it's more than just being asa b'hana. We're saying that if you benefit from it, you violate the full fledgister of me'ilah behektish. Meaning, you got to make restitution, you got to add a chomish, you got to bring a carbon asham. Meaning, saying something is subject to me'ilah is saying much more than just you can't benefit from it. It's that if you benefit from it, you're really in trouble. Right. So when the Mishnah says that when you have the meat of chatas after you sprinkle the blood, there's no longer me'ilah. It sounds like from the Mishnah there's no longer me'ilah, but it's still lasa b'hana. You still can't benefit from it. Ve'amai, mamona de koinhu. The Gemara says, but we're talking about the meat of chatas. That's mamon koin. Belongs to the Kohanim. Meaning the Kohanim have to eat it. And it's just the language of the Mishnah is a little bit strange. Why does the Mishnah say there's no longer a din of me'ilah? The Mishnah should say something much more definitive, like it now totally is okay to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says it's a stylistic issue in the Mishnah. Mishum de nasav reisha mo'alim, nasav sefer ein mo'alim. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's just a style. Because in the reisha, the Mishnah says there's a din of me'ilah before zrikas dam. So then in the sefer, the Mishnah says there's no din of me'ilah. So in other words, for that poetry of the Mishnah, so we're going to use terms like me'ilah and no me'ilah. But really, of course, we all know that by the meat of the chatas, it goes to the Kohanim, is eaten by the Kohanim. All right, good. Next. Ema seifa, go move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Bekachim kalim kula lahachim, keitza basar kachim kalim lefnei zrikas damim ein ma'alim behen, uvimurin ve'ein chayav mishum pikol nasa v'tameh, lahachar zrikas damim, and then the Mishnah says that when it comes to your shlamim, after you sprinkle the blood, ma'alim be'imurim, so there's a din of me'ilah by'imurim, ve'ein ma'alim be'basar, but there is no me'ilah by the basar. And again, here we go. There's no me'ilah by the basar. What do you mean there's no me'ilah? It's eaten by the owners of the carbon. Me'ilu deleka isur ika v'amai hamamona debalimhu. Isn't it belong to the owners of the carbon? Now, Rashi goes on to explain that even though when the Gemara asked that question by Kasha Kashim, the Gemara gave a simple answer, which is style. That's just simply the style of the Mishnah. Since the Mishnah said that there's me'ilah before Zrikas Dam, so therefore the Mishnah uses the language of vain me'ilah. But Rashi goes on to explain that over here, we can't offer that defense of the Gemara, see Rashi, for an explanation of why. But anyway, I'm Rabbi Chanina Liyotzim Rabbi Kivahi. So you know what our Mishnah is talking about? Why does the Mishnah say that you can't eat the meat of shlamim, right? Aren't you allowed to eat the meat of shlamim? So the Gemara says we're talking about where the meat was taken out before the Zrikas Dam. The Isser meal is removed. Why? Because our Mishnah over here subscribes to Rabbi Akiva's rule of what we learned in the Mishnah prior. That Zrika will help for Yotzei. So Rabbi Kiva hi v'chiyam, Rabbi Kiva Zrika malas Yotzei l'sreifa. Aval la'achila hi delav meratza. So the Gemara says, look, even when we say that meal is lifted, but it still needs to be burnt, you can't eat it, meaning even Rabbi Kiva will tell you that the meat is disqualified. It doesn't become mutter with the Zrikas Dam, but at the very least, so the Isser of Me'ilah has been removed. And that's what our Mishnah's point is trying to tell us, is that the Isser of Me'ilah is removed, although you can't eat it anymore.
Okay, but there's no potential for Me'ilah. If he can't eat it, what else can he do with it that could constitute me'ilah?
You can't benefit from it. So, in terms of what you can do with it, the answer is going to be nothing. In terms of if you do benefit from it, did you violate the Isser of me'ilah? And the answer is going to be no. Okay. Hajjalach Chachi Kadashim. So that is now the end of the first perek. And, okay, we are now into Masechta Me'ilah. We continue tomorrow Rosh Chodesh again. We continue tomorrow with the beginning of the second parak of Me'ilah. Again, Refuah Shleima, continue Refuah Shleima. Rafa Zakai, Avram Ben Yakira Avigail. V'chanan Yemen HaKash Amar Rosh Chodesh Baruch Zakai Zol Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shonem Amecha Ficha Manziko Yavgil Torah V'yadir.